The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. You're seated. So good to hear everyone lifting their voices today. This is, as I just alluded to in the welcome, an interesting morning. I knew the team was planning on a few things for today because they wanted to say thank you to us on some level. But I asked them to try to balance the line between thank you and I'm not dead. Or even moving to another state or city. As a matter of fact, when I return from sabbatical, I'm still going to be around here some, teaching some, interacting with you all. Yet, I am definitely stepping away from my role here at Summit as part of the elder, pastor, oversight team of the Summit family. So things are a-changing, and today is my last sermon as a official elder of Summit. And so there are many different thoughts and emotions in my heart and mind. When I was clearing out my office this week, I packed up all my books and took them out, and then several months ago, Marilyn and Alan Jones, who noticed my propensity through the years of crying more and more, like the older I've gotten, I've cried a lot more when I'm teaching. They were very kind several months ago and dropped off a whole package of brand new handkerchiefs in my office, which I thought was very kind and gracious of them. And their way, I think, kind of a saying of like, get yourself together, man. So I haven't used them. They've just been sitting in the package because I honestly just forget. And since they gave them to me, I've cried on numerous occasions. Each time, not them coming up and going, that's so sweet how the Spirit is moving in your life. It's just always been, where are your hankies? And so I appreciate their sincere concern. All of that to say, when I was clearing out my office this week, I opened up the package and took one hanky and left it on my bookshelf, took everything else out so that when I came in today, I could put it in my back pocket. So it's right there. Now, I think I'm pretty cried out, and here's the reason why. I took the long way into work today. And by that, I mean I live 5 miles from here. I typically go about the speed limit, so it usually takes me about 5 minutes to get here. a mile a minute, it's fine. And today, it took me about an hour to get here. And that's because I did my morning ritual of stopping by Starbucks, getting a venti coffee. You're welcome. And then driving all the way down Woodruff Road and maybe clicking on the song Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns and sitting in the Maravan parking lot for a few moments, which is where Summit began back in the day. And from there, I drove over to Summit Malden, and sat in that parking lot for a hot minute. And then drove down by Gravitopia, Defy, I think they're called now. And as I drove by, just for all of you that were on like parking lot duty, there was trash everywhere. And so, super thankful not to be there. And you guys cleaned that up through all the years. And then made my way down Main Street, Simpsonville, where Summit Simpsonville was for a season. And then finally, an hour later, arriving here. So maybe I'm pretty cried out. The longer I've been a pastor, which is coming up on 23 years this summer, the more I've come to cherish the words of the Apostle Paul to the different churches that he planted and equipped and encouraged and cared for. And as I step into a new chapter and season of ministry, I wanted to revisit some of Paul's words to the church at Philippi. A little background for you, because we're not currently teaching through Philippians. We're currently teaching through the book of Esther, and that's where we'll be next Sunday. Hope you can join us. This is now two messages in a row where I was supposed to teach Esther, taught something totally different. So kudos to the guys that are teaching multiple chapters because I'm not sticking to the plan. Paul's letter to the Philippians is unique. It's not unique because it's especially long or complex. It's not unique because of the specific brand of persecution and conflict that Paul is writing about. It's not unique because of where Paul is writing it from. He's writing it from prison, but that's a familiar place for the Apostle Paul. I believe it's unique because you read a distinct depth of affection from Paul for the people of Philippi. And if you consider, actually, if you consider the beginning of Paul's relationship with the Philippians in Acts 16, you can read about that. We see the foundations of the church there in Philippi. And the church was built around these significant relationships. That's where you would meet Lydia, a wealthy woman from Thyatira who had made her money selling dyed purple cloth. And her life was transformed through Paul's gospel proclamation. She subsequently invites Paul and his companions to come and stay at her home. In these verses in Acts, we also watch as Paul liberates a young slave girl from the bondage of demonic oppression, much to the chagrin of her owners who were profiting from her condition. Because the Spirit through Paul was hitting these owners right in their pocketbook. So Paul and Silas, as a result, are thrown into prison. And there in the dead of night, a miraculous earthquake shakes free the bonds holding the prisoners, but also allows these guys to speak to the hope of the gospel to a Philippian jailer, maybe a grizzled Roman army veteran whose future is wholly redefined when he trusts the Lord. All of those examples drive home the point that Paul loves the Philippians, and that affection for them serves as the bedrock of his hope and his prayer for them. And so from a Roman prison cell, Paul invites them and shows them by the example of his own life to trust in the beauty and the power and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He encourages them to face down the persecution that had come against them and banding together to press on toward eternity with gospel-defined hope. He exhorts them to look to Jesus as the one who models for them and empowers in them unity that flies in the face of selfish infighting and external pressures. He deeply desires that they trust that Jesus is ever and always enough for them. And these verses I wanted to talk about today really drive home that point. Because Paul has a thankful heart for the gospel partnership and friendship with those in Philippi. As I was thinking about what I wanted to share on this day, these verses really spoke to my heart and mind. Because as I conclude my time here at Summit for what's been almost 15 years now, my heart resonates with Paul's heart for the church at Philippi, because this is also my heart for you here. While the stories would be different, obviously, than the ones Paul had with the people of the church at Philippi, my heart resonates with you because there's actually stories, right, of transformation in your life. Fifteen years of journeying with many of you. Some of you have joined us along the way. And it's one of the joys of being a pastor is you get this front row seat to people's life change. The mess of that and the beauty that comes out of the mess, yeah. And so I could take this morning and as I look around the room and recall other people who aren't even here today, maybe they're at another Summit congregation or maybe they're not with Summit any longer, I can recount story after story of God's faithfulness in your life that I've gotten to see. It's pretty cool. Incredibly thankful and honestly quite overwhelmed at your gospel partnership and friendship through the years, because that's what I consider this. And I'm encouraged as I transition into a new role, and incredibly hopeful because it is the same gospel partnership that will sustain our gospel friendship for years to come. This is what it says in Philippians 1, just verse 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Philippians 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8 and then talk about it a little bit, and I'll be done. Paul says to the church there at Philippi, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And verse 6 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart. For you're all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I love it. I probably don't even have to preach it. I think I could just read the verses and you'd get it. But I've got some time. So, I love what Paul's communicating. I love his pastoral heart for these people. It's relatable for me. I can sense and even identify some with his care and what he's wanting to say to them about how he feels for them, how thankful he is for them. What I can't get over, however, when I read and study this is the fact that Paul's in prison, right? Like, that is a unique piece of this. And even how he writes this, knowing that that's where he is, right? Like, how would you start your letter if you were in prison? Would it be with these kinds of words? Like, I know me well enough to know how I would start mine. Hey, everybody, still here? Unjustly. Food's bad, basically laying on a rock all day and night. My cellmate Claudia snores and talks in his sleep. We got big problems. Like, that's how my letter would start if I were writing to encourage all of you while I was in prison. Kyle and I had the opportunity several years ago to go to Rome. There was a place there that claims to be the prison cell where Paul was located. I'm not sure it was the exact one, but it definitely would have been similar, and it was unbelievable to be standing there, and I use the word standing there loosely. I actually could not stand up all the way in there. I was hunched over a little bit, and Kyle and I and a few other pastors that we were with, we spent some time opening up our scriptures and reading some of Paul's letters that would have been written while he was in prison. It was really surreal. Paul says here, if you look back at verse 3, he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you, and I do so with joy. I pray to God with joy because of all of you. And there are a couple of things that brought him joy. And these are similar things that have brought me joy in my opportunity to walk and journey with you through the years. The first thing I notice there is this real defined gospel partnership, right? Like, he is joyful even while in prison, specifically that they have partnered with him in the gospel. It says, since he met them all the way up until now being while he's in prison. That word partnership in Greek is koinonia, but it means more than just fellowship. It means more than just sharing. Partnership here is a word that describes like practical, tangible support of Paul's desire and efforts to share and articulate the gospel to people and to minister to those who had embraced the gospel. They wanted to follow Jesus with their lives. These folks have supported him with words of encouragement, no doubt, praying for him, absolutely. But they've also given, like, sacrificially. Like, this is a real, when he writes this is a very real, practical thank you for your partnership with me in the gospel. Thank you for your consistency in giving in all the ways to the mission of sharing and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And I know that from the beginning of Summit, I've been a pastor elder here, and I'm obviously well-versed in what those words mean biblically in regards to my role in your life as a people who are a part of the Summit family, right? That as a pastor elder overseer, that I shepherd you. I'm a part of the team that shepherds you and cares for you, walks with you, oversees and teaches the scriptures, equips you. Yet at the heart of all of it from the beginning, from the start of Summit in 2007, has been this call upon my life to call other people to gospel partnership. Maybe I can say it this way. The idea that we are all partnering together for gospel saturation in our circles of influence in the geography that is the upstate of South Carolina is a unique piece of Summit culture, because from the very beginning, we have told you this. It's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about us partnering together for the sake of others and God's glory and fame. It doesn't mean that we don't care for you when you hurt and when life is hard. I believe we do. It doesn't mean we don't focus on your spiritual formation and discipleship. We definitely do. It doesn't mean that we don't provide environments for community and fellowship. We have and will continue to do all of those things. But at the backdrop of all of that is a collective partnering of the people that are a part of the Summit family, whether they're in this congregation or any of our other congregations, where we are intentionally, as followers of Jesus Christ, partnering together to saturate this geography with the good news of Jesus. That's what we're doing. We are a group of people who believe that God in His sovereignty has placed us where we are to make much of Him. And when that is the backdrop to all of it, there is this heartfelt fondness and love and care for those who are in the trenches with you doing kingdom work. And that's what we have been doing. And it is what we are committed to continue to do for years to come. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for 15 years of gospel partnership. So much of the peace that I have in this moment of transition is found in the fact that this partnership continues. That you actually don't have to wonder in the months and years to come, when I'm not seeing you quite as much, you don't ever have to wonder what Jason's up to. I'll tell you what I'm going to be up to, what I've always been up to. And what brings me so much peace is that I actually know that you're going to be up to it as well. Does that make sense? Like, there is a real peace that comes with knowing that you're partnering with a people to reach a place. It's honestly at the core of how we've been able to multiply and be multiple congregations and not have it built on the personality of a guy. You know what I love about Summit Easley, even though I'm hardly ever at Summit Easley? Every time I drive through Easley, and it's usually drive through, no offense to the people Easley, I'm just headed to the lake, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not just, it's not destination spot. You know. Is that as I'm driving through, there are people there who are about what I'm about. When I drive to Spartanburg, also not a destination spot, but it's my roots, people, so I go quite a bit. I know there are people all over Spartanburg that are about what I'm about. And it's one of the reasons Summit's never had to be about me or any guy on this team. It's we just wanted to invest in people who would be Jesus in the places that they do life. Because we really believe that's what it's about. Gospel partnership's a real thing. But it's not just a real thing like overseas. It is overseas. We support our missionaries overseas. That's intentional partnership. But it's here. It's us. The other thing I see that I think is the heart of what Paul is saying is not just gospel partnership. There's this, what I would just call gospel confidence, right? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day, the day of Jesus Christ." So Paul has this joyful thankfulness to God because he is confident of who God is. A God that completes what he started in sanctifying those that he has redeemed. How great is that, yeah? Paul says, God has taken a hold of you, and he's going to continue to change you and transform you for his glory and fame. And the implications of this are overwhelmingly beautiful, especially in a culture we find ourselves in where everybody's telling you to freak out about everything. This morning that I would say to you, because of gospel confidence, God is with you. The God of the universe is with you. That the God of the universe who holds all things in his hands holds you in his hand. And what you find when you cling to the truth of what Paul is proclaiming here is you find confidence, yeah, but you find confidence wrapped in rest. There's true rest for your heart and mind in gospel confidence, not apathy, not passivity, but rest. Not freaking out, not worry, not anxiousness. Rest, not sit and wait, but an invitation to jump in on what God is up to in redeeming people. And you can actually be a part of that from a place of rest. Because God is going to complete what he started. That's some really great news. Maybe I can say it this way. You can trust him. And if you can trust him, you can follow him. And if you follow him, you will be on the front end of the kingdom of God breaking into this broken world. And if you are in on the front end of the kingdom of God breaking into this broken world, your days will have purpose and your days will have meaning. Through all the hardship, through all the pain, in the joy and in the victory, it all has purpose and meaning because he's using it to make much of himself in a broken world. There's this gospel confidence that Paul talks about. Follow him. He is trustworthy. And gospel confidence is yours, not because of you, but because of him. He'll complete what he started. And the last thing I see is just there in verses 7 and 8, not just a gospel partnership and not just gospel confidence, but this gospel friendship. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I hope you never miss out on the true emotional connection to people that so many of the authors of Scripture have, yes? He simply loves them, and he thanks them for their friendship. I love you, he says, and I'm thankful for you. And that's what I'd like to say. Thank you for your gospel friendship. Centered around gospel partnership. A friendship and a partnership that actually continues because of gospel confidence. That he has begun a good work in all of us. He will bring that to completion. So may we then continue to give our days on this earth to his kingdom purposes. I've attempted over the last couple of weeks to say some personal thank yous to some people I needed to say personal thank yous to. Had the opportunity to write a note to each of our full-time staff members and give that to them. A few other people that I needed to articulate some things to. But in this moment, I'll do a couple of things. I'll sit down. I probably already went over. Super encouraged this morning because there were a handful of people that walked in the door that were around at the very beginning. And I don't want to embarrass them or call them out, but I just want to say thanks. I know I've written that through the years. I know at different milestones in the life of Summit, I've been able to articulate those things to you all. But I just hope you're encouraged today. I know for some of you that are here, if you're first time back at Summit Simpsonville, since we moved into this new location, and almost all the guys, I know some of their spouses couldn't make it today, but the original five families that met in my living room back in 2006, 2007 to start Summit are here this morning. And just thanks. I hope you're able to see, I just hope you're reminded of God's faithfulness and goodness. He's been really good to us. And what you sit in today is just a snapshot, actually, of what's across the upstate of people living on mission. And I'm really happy to tell you, we haven't been perfect. We've made mistakes. But 15 years later, we still exist to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. It's never changed. It won't. I'm thankful for that, so I'm thankful for you. A lot of our staff team is here today, and I know I've said some things individually to you, but publicly, in front of all the folks that are gathered here today, and so that it can be recorded online for all time, I love you, and I'm thankful for you. And when I'm making my list of things that are the hardest about transitioning, not seeing you guys as often in the same ways is towards the top of my list. So thank you for how you've loved and served. We're about interdependency. It's not about a person, obviously, our peoples. But I would say publicly to Kyle, who also happens to be by my brother-in-law, so if some of you just figuring that out, we haven't really told a lot of people. But publicly to you, thanks, man, because you moved your whole family down here when we were really trying to figure stuff out. And I know some people have worked with family before, and it's gone really sideways. And the Lord's been really kind that it hasn't ever gone sideways. So I'm thankful for that. I can say that today. Okay. I would just say this to the staff too. One of my favorite things about you guys is that you don't, to date, you haven't grown weary in living in the nuances in a culture that's telling you to pick sides, to justify yourself. And that's the reason I really think culture wants you to pick sides, by the way, so you can feel better about you. People of Summit, you are blessed to have a staff team that's willing to live in the nuances of culture. Keep doing that. It sounds overly simplistic. That is done by continuing to follow Jesus, because he is the one and the only one that is full of grace and truth. And you need both of those things to live in the nuances. And I would also just remind you that obedience is not defined by success from our perspective, but from God's perspective. And I think the more you believe that, the more you'll follow him into the next steps, even when it seems pitch black and you can't quite see your way along the path. So thanks for being a staff that lives in the nuances and loves people really well and being obedient. Keep doing those things. To my girls, I love you. There are challenges to being pastor's kids. And you could stand up and share some of those. But I'll say to you, this place has loved you really well. And they've never projected upon you anything other than their love and their care for you. And there's a lot of pastors' kids that can't say that about the churches that they've been a part of. And so to the people of Summit, thank you for how you've loved my family. Please keep loving them, because they still love you. Like I said, you'll see us around a little bit. And to my bride, nah, I said this to our leaders, you know. All the words I just used to talk about my heart for you are actually words also from my heart for my wife. Not only is my sister in Christ, but she has been a partner with me from the very beginning in every way. I've never had to convince her that she needs to come hang out. Not all pastors can say that, by the way, about their spouses. Never had to twist her arm. She loves y'all. She's been a true partner, a true friend with me in ministry, and I'm incredibly thankful for you. Maybe it'll be acknowledged in some other way, but I want to say it. For almost 15 years, she's been a part of overseeing the Summit Kids ministry here. And over the last little bit, we haven't even had kiddos in the ministry. She's done it with grace. She's done it with kindness. She's reworked schedules 4,334 times on a Saturday night. We've been counting. Just kidding, we haven't been. But seriously, probably close to 5,000. And I'm telling you, she's done that with grace and kindness. And so thanks for partnership in ministry. I want to pray for us, and then I think we're supposed to sing a song or something. I don't know the whole order. I don't know everything that's happening, but I want to pray for us, and then whatever's supposed to happen next, that'll give folks the opportunity to transition to where they need to be. Is that a fair way to do it, Brando? Thank you. Father God, I thank you for this family of Summit. The opportunity to gather with them this morning and be reminded of your goodness, your faithfulness, your mission, your call upon our life. That in your kindness and grace, you desire to use us to make much of you. That since Summit has been around, we've been able to do that, and we get the opportunity to continue to do that moving forward. And that in your grace and kindness, you're actually providing avenues and opportunities for us to do more of the same. We love that, and we're thankful for that. We know that you will, so we don't have to ask you to. But we thank you for your words to us from Paul to the church of Philippi, that you will complete what you started for your glory, for your fame. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
It is good to be together this morning. And to be able to look out and to see some of our staff team here, our elders. I think the majority of our elders were able to make it this morning. It's pretty sweet because typically we're spread out across the upstate on any given Sunday. So it's pretty sweet to see them in the room today and to be able to maybe mark a pretty significant moment, as you can imagine, in the life of Summit. My name's Terry Carlton. By the way, I'm one of the elders. Kyle Eastep, another one of the elders, is going to come up. And we just want to take a moment to acknowledge and honor the Malone family. There is a phrase by Eugene Peterson. He wrote a book many years ago entitled, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I like to add a few words to that statement, a long obedience in the same direction, marked by joy. As I think about life and ministry, as I think about what it takes to shepherd and lead the body, as I think about the role of leadership within the church, that statement throughout the years has resonated so deeply and in profound ways in my life. In a culture that really does focus on the immediate, that frantically rushes to the next thing and that really treats the body of Christ with a take-it-or-leave-it mentality, a long obedience in the same direction marked by joy, is not only the remedy to the instability around us, but it is the posture that the church and the culture so desperately needs to see lived out. The premise of the book was the long pilgrimage all the way home of what it means and what it takes and what it requires to follow Jesus. Jason and Jen, you guys embody this statement in my mind. Faithful, consistent, joy-filled. Year after year, season after season. I am sure there have been moments where you have questioned and wondered, does anyone notice? Does anyone see? What I want to testify this morning is we see. And there are countless men and women, students, families that are not here today that also see. I'm sure there have been moments where you have questioned, does our influence actually count? What we're doing day after day that seems hidden and maybe unnoticed and maybe unappreciated, is it reaching anyone? What I want to stand up before you today and say, we have been shaped by your obedience. And there are countless others that are not in this room today that I believe they would testify of the same. My encouragement to you as you step into this new season is this: a long obedience in the same direction marked by joy. I pray that 20 years from now, maybe you want me to say 15 or 10 years from now, 10 to 20 years from now, there will be countless people that could stand up in your honor and gladly say these words: faithful, joy-filled, and consistent. I know you know this, but I want to remind you anyway. It is His love in and through you that produces a long obedience in the same direction marked by joy. To Caroline and Kate, I'm assuming your dad probably had a conversation with you about this along the way, but if he didn't, I'm going to bring you in on the conversation. Several years ago, we as elders had a conversation about implementing a sabbatical for the pastoral staff, the full-time pastoral staff, and at the forefront of that conversation was the children of our pastoral team. And what we desired as we prayed about implementing this for all of our pastors is we wanted you to have a season that you could have 100% of the attention of your dad and mom. No distractions. And my prayer as you step into this sabbatical over the summer, my prayer is that there will be a moment where you appreciate the church who looked out for you as much as it looked out for your dad and mom. And that realizing this, that the church that looks out for your dad and mom is actually looking out for you as well. Couple reminders as you step into this new season. Don't ever forget that all of Summit has been shaped in profound ways by the obedience of your family. You should be very proud of that and thankful for it. And I also want to remind you, I guess it's my prayer over you, is that your love for Jesus and His church will increasingly grow each year because of the influence this church has had on you. Remember this. Remember the faithfulness of God up to this point in your life. That same God goes with you into this new season. I'm going to invite Kyle up. As he's coming, I want to read these words from 1 Thessalonians 5 over your family. It's my prayer to you. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will surely make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful. We love you. Thank you.
It's a big mistake putting the unapologetic crier at the end. I'll tell you that right now. But Jason rightfully went long. No surprise. And so I'll keep it tight. One time when Jason and I early on in ministry decided to try to team teach on a Sunday morning, after it was over, a young woman came up to me. She came right to me And she said, I just want you to know something. I understand you. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I understand what it's like team teaching with Jason. It's the same thing I feel when I share a meal with my husband. I just pray for a few bites and a few crumbs. We have been together too long, and that became abundantly clear when I realized that my opening paragraph is a prayer for you and Jen and Caroline and Kate that is formed from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. So we'll just assume that you know what that says, because your dad did an excellent job, and know that I am praying that over all of you. And my affection for you, not just because of a family bind, my affection for you passes my affection for most people in my life. And I don't anticipate that changing anytime soon. Words cannot adequately express our collective and my gratitude to you and your family. Every time I sat down over the last several weeks to try to think about how to write just the perfect words for this day, it became clearer and clearer that that was a pointless goal. And honestly, it was an unnecessary pressure. I realize this isn't the conclusion to the story, but more of a changing of seasons and a writing of a new chapter where our partnership in the gospel will actually continue, but with a fresh, new, and wonderfully strange proximity. I think in the end, sometimes words are not actually enough. And that's part of the problem, but it's also part of the pleasure of this day. I don't think words were intended to be enough in and of themselves. It's like seeing your bride walk down the aisle, gazing into the newness of life in a newborn child, or for me, feeling appropriately small and rightly silent when you look at the Grand Teton Mountains for the first time, which I hope you'll be able to do this summer. Sometimes 15 years of memories were meant to just be enjoyed. And they were intended to become monuments of grace, of God's unfailing love and faithfulness, despite all of our gaps and weaknesses and failures and moments of unbelief along the way. So I do not know the pages that will be written in this next chapter, but I know this. God loves his church more than all of us combined. And he will continue to be good and sovereign and faithful in his love for her, which means he will continue to be good and sovereign and faithful in his love for you as well. I guess what I would say to you specifically is keep enjoying the journey. What a journey it's been. And once in a while, just stop. Just stop and take in the monuments of grace in appropriate smallness and rightful silence and anchor your joy in him and say, wow, look what God has done. I love you and I'm thankful for you and I pray nothing but God's blessing and goodness upon you. I would like to invite all of you to join me in honoring and thanking Jason and Jen and Caroline and Kate as they come to the stage this morning. Thank you all. You can be seated for just a moment. Malones, I just want to read this prayer over you from Psalm 16, one of my absolute favorites. You probably knew it was coming. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He will, in fact, finish what he has started in each one of you. He will not lose you. He is incapable of doing so, and this place will love you along the way. Thank you so much for your ministry and your service here at Summit Church. We do have some small gifts. There is no way to have a gift or any amount of money match the depth of our gratitude. But we have some flowers for each of you girls, along with a little gift to let you get pampered during sabbatical together. Yeah, it's right. It's super sweet. I feel like we crushed it right here. Yeah. And you ladies can stay up here with us, and the staff and elders can make their way to the stage as well if you're here today gathered with us. Jason, we have a gift for you and your family, along with some other things that we wanted to pass along. Before we do, I just wanted to, one second, Terry. I just wanted to make sure that you took something with you this morning. This is, for those of you who don't know, Mary Kay was hanging in the first building that Summit Church met in at the Maravan Center. We like to assume that she's doing this. And at the bottom it says, you can do it. And I don't know if it's we want you to have this token to put it in your office and to always remember that God, through his grace and faithfulness, can actually help you do it, or if we just really want to get rid of it once and for all. But either way, it's yours. Along with that, our elders and the people of Summit wanted to give you and your family a blessing on sabbatical, along with a small token of appreciation and a hopefully generous and wise stewardship gift, financial gift to your family for your years of faithfulness here, along with a book by Eugene Peterson, actually about Eugene Peterson. One of the things Dwight said to us when we got started, if you remember, was read the dead guys. Sounds funny, but what he meant was read the ones who finish well. Read the ones you know who finish well. And our trust and our faith is that God, by his grace, will help you finish well. Our staff and elders are going to lay hands on you at this time and give thanks to God for you and pray over you. We would invite you all to stand. And this may be awkward for some of you or new for some of you, but just in a show of support and unity, would you be willing to just stretch your hands out in prayer as though with us you are laying hands on Jason and Jen and the girls this morning? And then Nathan Forrest is actually going to lead our prayer by praying the words of Jude's doxology over this family. And then we're going to worship together before we wrap up.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.